This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in today. As the year 2022 comes to a close, I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty wild to think back to all the years that I was a triathlete without the TriDot Podcast. It feels like a long time ago, 3 years of podcasting now. This is episode 170. It's just wild that this is a thing that we're doing. We're so grateful, the whole team at TriDot, for everyone who listens in and connects with us. And I'm thankful for all the coaches and all the experts who come on the show to make us better and smarter triathletes. We like to end the year reflecting on our year in podcasting. I've asked several of our podcast regulars to come to the table with two episodes from this calendar year that they want to highlight as a best of 2022. They'll tell us why they picked the episode they picked. We'll play a clip from that episode and then we'll move on to the next one. There are five of us on the show today with a few special appearances by some bonus TriDot staff members, so I'll keep the introductions brief today. With me on the live recording are TriDot Director of Coaching, John Mayfield, TriDot Pool School Director, Joanna Namey, Pro Triathlete and TriDot Coach, Elizabeth James, and TriDot Coach and Biomechanics Expert, Jeff Rains. Hey there, John.
Hey, guys. Wrapping up another amazing year.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Drewski. Man, what a year it's been.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our best of 2022 main set, and then wind things down with our cooldown. On the cooldown today, Vanessa will be interviewing the TriDot athlete who racked up the most ponycorn bonuses in the TriDot app during the year 2022. So I guess you could say she is crowning the first ever TriDot Unicorn Champion of the Year. And I, for one, cannot wait to find out who it is. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
As we look back on our year in podcasting, let's also look back on our year in racing as well. As our end of the season warm-up question, what was your favorite moment from the 2022 race season? Now this can be from a day that you raced. It can be from supporting someone else who was racing. It could be from watching the pros as they were racing. It can be from a race report that you read on the I Am TriDot Facebook group. Just overall, from the year 2022, what was your favorite race moment? Jeff Rains.
You know me, I'm not going to pick just one. So here we go. Ironman California was my kind of team reigns team event. And so many of us were out there. Gosh, there were 60 or 70 TriDotters there, but I had nine of my athletes out there racing alongside me. So just with the cancellation of 2021, it was just a big redemption year for many. So that was just an amazing kind of comeback story and race weekend. You know, I have to give a plug to our ambassador camp in St. George. What I loved about that one is that we had the camp all week and then we stayed and cheered on and we had a number of TriDotters out there racing. But the campers all stayed and we were largely in charge of T1. And it was so great just seeing the TriDot community come together. We all gave back to the sport, volunteering side by side, working the transition change tent at the World Championship. It was just amazing seeing TriDot all work together at the end of a fun camp week. And then selfishly for me as a race, my favorite moment was Daytona fairly recently and leapfrogging John Mayfield on the bike. Man, I had a blast out there with you, buddy. That was so fun. Just moving up the rankings and passing people left and right and working together legally, I must say. But man, John, you and I have had lots of moments throughout the years, but that one was probably one of my favorite, buddy. Good job out there.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
And it wasn't just the two of you. We can't leave out our third party, Ben Guevara, who was also a part of that little kind of TriDot leapfrogging at Daytona riding with you guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, Jerry Duggan was close by too. I mean, it was fun. It was amazing.
Kyle Stone was right behind us. We had several all there, right? Every time we'd U-turn, we saw our whole crew kind of there together. That was a lot of fun.
And see, that's what happens when you get a lot of Tri-Dot on the same course on the same day. Lots of fun. Elizabeth James, what is this answer for you? 2022 race season favorite moment?
Well, yeah, speaking of having like a lot of Tri-Dot members together, from my own personal racing, for me, it was Ironman Des Moines. Got to race with two other women from my local Bible study group. There was a point where John and I were running together on the course, which was awesome. And we had Joe and Corey cheering us on. So that was really special for me. And then just thinking back to like all the incredible finishes that there were this year in racing. I mean, one of my favorite moments was 70.3 Oceanside, where you had Lionel Sanders and Rudy Von Berg and just that sprint for the second place finish. And to me, it is still just absolutely amazing that, you know, after 70 plus miles of racing, it came down to milliseconds between their finish.
Yeah, no, I remember that one for sure, a photo finish. And there was a lot of those in triathlon this year. And I feel like Lionel Sanders was a part of at least 80% of them. But yes, that was a really, really good one from the pro field. John Mayfield, what is this answer for you?
Again, tough to pick because there's just so many. As already mentioned, my time on course with Elizabeth and Jeff. But one to highlight is certainly the return of the World Championship to Kona. It was great to be there, being set up at our kind of week host at Kai Eats right there along Leahy Drive. With everything going on in the days leading into the race, having the privilege to be a guest of Mark Allen in Kona was just like surreal. Hanging out with him all over the place, being introduced to, you know, the who's who, that was really something unique and special. And then just to have the race day experience as well, to be out there supporting Joe and everyone else. I had a bike, so I was able to go out onto the Queen K and be with her for those last couple miles. That was certainly special. Along with a whole bunch of other stuff that week and a whole bunch of other stuff all season long.
Coach Joe, you did several races this year. You did several big races this year. From all of it, what is your best favorite race moment from the year 2022?
This is tough, Andrew. Probably recording a podcast in a mini trailer, sticking to vinyl seats in the RV park in Daytona had to rank way high up there.
Has to be the highlight. Absolutely.
Had to be a highlight. But as John said, I can't wrap my head around everything that happened in Kona. I do know that the last 8 miles of run walking with Kyle and Terry Stone, who are super close friends, training partners, and having John on the bike around us, that was just, I don't know how something worked out that well. And to have that, those couple of miles was pretty crazy. And then I'll have to say, I keep rewatching the video, but to qualify by time in Arizona with the people that I care and love about all around me, that was got to be one of the best moments of my life. So that was just an incredible moment.
Real simple answer here for me on this one. There's a lot of good moments I would like to go with, but you can't top your first trip to Kona and just that morning that we spent Thursday when the female pros were racing. A lot of Tri-Dotters were out there racing. And John, kind of like you mentioned, thanks to our good friend Mark Allen, we had some VIP passes for the day. And so we got to watch the swim start in Kona on Thursday from the pier. And so I've always watched the Kona live feed every single year. And so just to be there in person for the first time, right there at the swim start, hearing the cannons go off and the drums beating and watching the female pros get going and then watching all the different age groupers get going. So that was just a really cool morning, really special morning, and one that I definitely won't ever forget. So, all right, we're going to throw this question out to you because I know in the Tri-Dot audience, in our I Am Tri-Dot Facebook group, you guys and gals did so much awesome things out on the race course this year. I can't wait to hear what moment you want to share as your favorite moment from the race course in 2022. So find the post asking you, what is your favorite race moment of the year? And we can't wait to see what you have to say.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Before we get too deep into the show today, I want to give a shout out to our good friends at UCAN. Here at TriDot, we are huge believers in using UCAN to fuel our training and racing. In the crowded field of nutrition companies, what separates UCAN from the pack is the science behind Live Steady, the key ingredient in UCAN products. While most energy powders are filled with sugar or stimulants that cause a spike and crash, UCAN energy powders powered by Live Steady deliver a steady release of complex carbs to give you stable blood sugar and provide long-lasting energy. I personally fuel many of my workouts with the orange-flavored Edge Gel and the unflavored UCAN Energy. Between their energy mix, energy bars, almond butter, and more, there is definitely a Live Steady product that you will love. So head to their website, UCAN.co, and use the code TRIDOT to save 20% on your entire order. That's UCAN.co, promo code TRIDOT. All right, let's get to the good stuff today. I am very excited to see which episodes from this year our coaches have selected to be the official TriDot Podcast Best of 2022. I've got my two nominations lined up, and let's find out what episodes our coaches have selected. Coach Joe, why don't you kick us off here? What is your very first Best of 2022 episode?
Yes, Andrew, one of my favorites, I was thinking back on this a lot, was an episode that John and I recorded with you on anxiety in racing. And it turned out to be much more than just anxiety in racing, but, you know, anxiety in daily life, but in prepping for major life events and how we prepare ourselves. We spend so much time focusing on the physical and nutrition in every aspect of these long endurance events, but we don't spend a lot of time prepping ourselves for how we're going to feel in the days leading up and to race day itself, and then after the race. So there is a tremendous amount of anxiety that surrounds these major triathlon events. And so I really enjoyed, you know, recording that with John so that we could, you know, share with athletes how-tos and what do we do and how do we prepare ourselves to deal with those feelings and our go-tos in those situations.
Is it normal to have some pre-race jitters, or is that something that goes away over time? What percentage of the field at any given race is standing there on the edge of the water feeling nervous?
I would have to say, I think it's near 100%. I think it's totally normal. Kind of the fear of the unknown, something very strenuous you're about to take on, especially, you know, half or full Ironman. Always the what ifs. Can I do this? What if I can't do this? What if this happens? So I'm still mega nervous when I start. But the one line I say to my athletes over and over again is that there is a fine line between anxiety and excitement. And what are you going to choose today? You can choose to be anxious, or we can frame that as excitement. So it's just, that's just a flip of negative versus positive. So instead of saying, hey, I'm really nervous, I'm really scared, you know, can we say, hey, you know, let's push that away. Let's, like I say to my kids, let's put those negative thoughts in a bubble. Let's blow that away. Positive thoughts, and that we're going to frame this as excitement. But I would say that that's probably still on the table for every athlete that toes the line. And that's very normal.
The nerves are proof that you're still invested, that really when we go out and we do these things, we're taking on risk. We're risking uncomfortable pain. We're risking failure. You know, a lot of it is self-imposed. We have these self-imposed expectations that we may or may not meet. And there's no guarantee, regardless of how well prepared we are. And I think when you can consistently get to the start line and not be nervous, either one, you're not setting ambitious enough goals, you're not taking on enough risk, or maybe it's just time to get out. Because you know, at some point you're just going through the motions, and there's just, this sport is too expensive, too time consuming to just go through the motions on. And you know, I've been to those races. You know, there are some that are higher priority than others. Some races are more just fun, and others are very serious. I have one single goal here. This is going to be success or failure. So again, kind of the priority of the race is going to dictate how much anxiety or how nervous we are before those. But again, there should be something there. There should be some butterflies. If the butterflies aren't there, then you're probably not there either.
So as someone that is still very much working on my race day anxiety, and I mean, honestly, just everyday life anxiety, this episode was absolutely great. I mean, there are some fantastic takeaways here for everyone to consider and practice for their next event. I've been working with a sports psychologist on that self-imposed pressure, and I love what both John and Joe said about, you know, the nerves, and they're there, and that's okay. It's okay to have those butterflies. And one of the things that I, you know, have been thinking about now is, you know, when those butterflies come, it's like, all right, I acknowledge that they're there. Now let's, you know, let's have those butterflies fly in formation and use that as a positive during the day.
Coach John Mayfield, what is our second best of 2022 episode for today?
So I believe it may be a best of all time. It is episode 133, the ABCs of number one and number twos. This one just for me has a fun origin story.
The Pottycast.
The Pottycast was kind of conceived in on a road trip. It was five triathletes in that not real big car, and you know, of course, we all had our stories. But so the clip I picked, I think, was the best story, and it was Matt sharing his story from racing in Lake Placid.
I noticed that I had dry sponges in my kit, so I grabbed one. I held it near my crotch, and I peed. How wonderful, right? Sweet relief. And I have dry socks and shoes. So what more
right,
can anybody want?
So the sponge absorbed it all, huh?
Yeah, I mean, not all of it, but enough of it that it didn't just come running down my leg into my shoe.
Well, I was going to say, I'm having this horrific thought of Matt and these sponges. And during that inaugural year, like 10 years ago of New Orleans 70.3, they ran out of fluids on the run. And me and my two training partners proceeded to pick up sponges and drink out of them.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yes, that would have been very bad. But get this, though. This is the end of the story. When it came up to the next aid station, I just threw it out in a trash can. And yeah, that was great. And I did it a couple more times. One time, though, I threw it in a trash can. And then as I was running by the trash can that I just threw my piss-laden sponge into, I realized it was not a trash can. It was not for trash. Like, it was full of fresh sponges sitting in ice water. I felt terrible.
So somebody inevitably picked that up and used it.
They very likely could have held that above their head, tipped their head back, and drank the water out of that.
It's a gross sport, people. It's a gross sport all the way around, no matter how you look at it. I feel like a priest taking Matt's confession right now. Just all of his triathlon sins from over the years.
I'm still giggling over here over this clip. I can't get over it. I think the funnier thing is that if I sat and listed out all my achievements in triathlon over 15, 16 years, nothing compares to the amount of comments and I get from people regarding this silly podcast on one and twos. But I have to laugh because I think that all of us on here would agree, as you coach year after year after year, that's the true nuts and bolts of coaching. You're going to get questions about long course Ironman racing, and you've got to be able to tell your athletes. I mean, you will get some very interesting questions about using the restroom on Ironman days, and you've got to be ready to have some very creative answers. And obviously, Matt Bach was very creative in his use of sponges, though it still very much grosses me out.
Coach Jeff Rains, what is our third best of 2022 podcast episode?
I'm going way back to early 2022. I think it might have been the first episode of 2022, if I'm not mistaken. But it is episode 119, and it is 19 tips to transform your triathlon training. This is the season of goal setting. We're closing the chapter of 2022. We're opening starting a new chapter of 2023. This is the season of goal setting. And this clip here really just sets things up for all of us at this current season of the year. And so it's good to kind of reflect on what you did well last year. You know, what you're going to change? What are you going to do different? Maybe you're going to spend more months or weeks in this precious developmental setting up your 2023 season, maybe not quite as many A races, prioritizing those B and C races a little bit better. But this episode really just kind of reiterates what TriDot is. It's our fast before far, our strong before long. And it needs to be revisited this time of year. And so I thought it was a perfect choice.
Elizabeth James, what is triathlon training tip number three?
Tip number three is don't sabotage your training with too much or improperly timed racing. This is kind of another thing that we've talked about before with planning your season and making sure that you don't miss the opportunity to build your strength and speed before adding the stamina. So, you know, that strong before long, fast before far. Racing is fun. I love racing, but having a purposefully planned season can allow you to get stronger and then have better results when you do race. So maybe consider adding, you know, some shorter distance races or lower priority races to really help you prepare for the main goals of the season. And I think this is another great one that we're bringing up here in the first part of the year, you know, as people are still kind of looking ahead to what their season's going to be and what that would look like, you know, definitely put down those A races first on your plan. Put those into your season planner and then see how other events might support your development toward those events. But don't just put, you know, a whole bunch of random things on your calendar and expect that that is going to get you your best results for your last event of the year.
I think this is super timely in that even as Elizabeth mentioned early in the year, here we are late in the year, even more time. So I actually spent some time yesterday planning my 2023 season. And it's a bit of a doozy just because I've got everything going on. So that episode talks a lot about planning and your training phases and how one race is going to interact with another, which obviously that's a critical component to your season planning. But yesterday when I was looking at my season and my races, something I had to really take into consideration is my work schedule and my family schedule. So I spend a lot of time on the road traveling for work, which can interfere with training and racing. And then I've got three kids. My daughter's going to be starting college in the fall. And then I'll have two more that are in high school that are involved in all sorts of stuff. So I created three columns, and it was my races, my known work events, and my known family events. And I did my best to kind of reconcile all three. And so that was just something that I was doing in addition to planning out the way the phases will fall, the races will interact with one another. This allowed me to take into consideration those work constraints and family constraints as well.
Yep, nice stuff, John. That's a well done calendar right there. I kind of want to take a peek at that and just kind of see what John Mayfield's 2023 is gonna shape up to look like.
Yeah, shoot that over to me too, man.
It's top secret.
Okay, Elizabeth James, what is our fourth best of 2022 episode?
Our next episode is number 154, which was Last Call, Mike's Legacy Behind the Mic. So this year we had Mike Riley, the voice of Iron Man, on the podcast, and it was just a fascinating insight into the man behind the mic. And to me, this interview felt just like he was one of our own staff members in the way that he connects with triathletes of all levels and truly just gets so much joy out of seeing others' success. So many athletes have just longed to hear the words, "You are an Ironman." And kind of as the finale of their journey to the finish line, those words mean so much to them. And here on the episode, and this clip specifically, Mike talks about the origin of those famed words.
I got a message from Dan Trone yesterday. And Dan said, "Mike, we are forever connected." I go, "Yeah, we are, buddy." In 1989, when I was in Kona for the first time, I never said that. 1990, I never said it. Never thought about, quote unquote, creating a phrase. You know, like when a baseball guy goes, "It's gone, it's a home," you know, whatever a phrase. I would just say, "Congratulations, great job. You look fantastic," you know, at the finish line.
Sure.
And then in 91... my buddy Dan Trone was there. He was a San Diego guy. I'd run with him at Mission Bay, and he did the race in 90. It didn't have a great day. In 91, I see him on a Lee Drive, and he goes, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. He's all nervous. I'm going, "Dude, you're a heck of an athlete. What do you mean?" "I don't know. It's just not there." And he was really kind of down. I go, "Don't worry. You'll be okay." He goes, "All right." So I saw him the day before the race, checking the bike in. And I go, "How you doing?" He goes, "I don't know. I know you told me I'd be okay, but I don't know. I feel a little better, but I don't know." You know, he's just depressed. And he started depressing me. Finally, I go, Dan, don't worry. You'll be an Ironman. You'll get it done. So he goes in. All right. I forgot about it. The next day, you know, there's no spotting. Our spotting was all manual. I didn't know where people were on the course. I'd get phone calls from the pay phones out on the course. Mike, so-and-so just went by mile 80. That's how we got our information back then.
Interesting.
So, and it was about maybe 10, 11 hours into the race. And I thought about Dan. I go, I wonder how he's doing. Well, a little while later, there he is. Remember, I'm spotting everybody via binoculars at their number, and I see him coming. I tell the other announcer, I got this one. So I got on the microphone from San Diego, California, Dan Trone. And it just hit me, the conversation we had of me saying, don't worry, B. I go, you are an Iron Man. It was almost like I was putting it in his face. You did it. I told you, you are an Iron Man. And he looked up and he pointed. I pointed back and it was just pure joy. But then something happened I didn't expect. The crowd, they just raised their level of noise like I couldn't believe. And I'm going, well, Dan, they don't know Dan. He's nobody, not like a pro. And I go, that's interesting. So the next person's coming in and I go, well, they are an Ironman. And I yelled it out and the crowd did it again. That's how it started. And forever in my mind, that's how it'll be.
Yes, Andrew, I would have to say that probably was the episode that really took me by storm. I just didn't expect it to be as emotional for Mike, for myself, for Andrew. There were so many words. There's so many things I wanted to say to Mike as he's called my name lots of times, and every time it means so much. And I wanted to give him a tribute. I wanted to tell him what he has meant to so many people and how those simple words that he says has validated the journey of so many athletes and everything they have struggled through, whether it's life struggles, training struggles. He has a way of making each person feel special. And it was just in that, it was such a special episode. And I was so honored to even be part of that.
Well, I will transition us from kind of one episode with a triathlon hero and legend, Mike Riley, into my very first best of 2022 episode. I'm going with episode 164, Bob Babbitt and the Challenged Athletes Foundation, Empowering Lives Through Sport. And the clip I selected from this episode with Bob is specifically a clip where, John, you had asked him just kind of what it was like being in his role as kind of the media shepherd for the week. On race week, he gets to do a lot of things. He interviews all the big name pros, and just kind of what that was like for him. And just as a media guy, as somebody who does media for a living, I really enjoy just kind of hearing him talk about that part of his life and career. And so this is Bob talking about what it's like being the guy who does Breakfast with Bob and being the guy who gets to interview all the biggest names in the sport whenever race week comes around.
I think everything started with when I first started was San Diego Track Club news and became running news and running and triathlon news with Mike Plant. I was, I like creating different characters. So I created some characters for the magazine called The Running Wino, The Reverend Campagnolo, Minister Triathlism. I was in a priest suit with holding a Bible. You can't get away with this stuff nowadays, And then the running old fart of the month. And Mike brought me into his office one day and he had this pile of letters. Right back then, you couldn't just send an email. You if you were upset or excited about something, you had to sit down, write it, get a stamp, put it in an envelope and mail. And he goes, I've got all these letters. A lot of these are like, I can't believe this guy's talking about somebody as an old fart and running wino is ridiculous. But the other ones are, this guy is hilarious. You need to have him do more. And he goes,
Bob, how old did you have to be considered for Old Fart of the Month?
Old Fart of the Month was usually back then, because it was like nowadays we have 80-year-old, 90-year-olds. But absolutely, back then, if you were over 50, you were considered an old fart. But anyways, what Mike told me, Mike looked at me and he goes, listen, the cool thing is, the one thing you don't want to be in life is vanilla. You want people to feel passionate about what you do, what you write about. So with the fact that these people sat down to write a letter and either hated what you wrote or loved what you wrote, that's exactly what I want for this magazine. So don't ever forget that. Don't be vanilla. And that always stuck to me, because you could write a race coverage of a story of a race of covering the Ironman and talk about, you know, Dave Scott and Mark Allen and all these. You can tell everything that happened in the race, or you can find one part of it that really is something you're passionate about. So 1 year at Ironman, my coverage was this guy, Dr. Corey Folk, who decided to do Ironman on a cruiser bike, right? He had a 55-pound Schwinn Typhoon, and he qualified for Kona and rolled this bike. He had a Hawaiian shirt on, barefoot, right? Bike with a kickstand on it, painted fluorescent yellow. He paid $25 for the bike and another $50 in paint to paint this thing. And that was the story. You know, he did this bike ride barefoot on a cruiser bike because he wanted to show people you didn't need a $10,000 bike to do the Ironman triathlon.
Which is still true to this day.
To this day, it's still true. Yeah. But that to me was the story, the race story. Sometimes you have to look, I always like to look at what moves me, right? Rather than trying to, you can't tell everything, which is, you know, back in the day when you look at a newspaper, they say this person did this and this person did that. And they list all the age groups. That's vanilla. That's not passion. Bring the passion, bring that to the game, and people will respond.
This is our first special guest pick. I reached out to Jenna Gorham, TriDot staff member, TriDot ambassador. Jenna works for us. She does a lot of things for the TriDot team. One of them that is probably the most frontward facing is Jenna does a great job, along with Elizabeth, of managing the content on our social media accounts. So a lot of the times, whatever you're seeing on the TriDot social media accounts is hats off to Jenna Gorham for all the great posting. But I reached out to Jenna and just said, hey, Jenna, from all the podcast episodes that you've listened to this year, which one would you want to pick as a best of 2022? And here is Jenna introducing her episode.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I chose episode 123, Aging Up, Getting Faster as You Get Older. This was one of my favorite episodes of 2022 because both Kurt Madden and Dee Dee Greisbauer spoke to me. I related to their experiences with working on preventative maintenance. I'm almost Dee Dee's age, and although she has many more years in the sport than I have, she's experiencing aspect of aging as an athlete that I've experienced. Both guests had some great insight to the possibilities of high performance levels at a time of life when popular thought says we should be slowing down.
But I think that's the other thing I find, not to belabor the point, is be proactive, just like on a car or on your house. Don't wait till the dashboard has all red lights on it. Like, take it in, just like your body. Do it in a proactive sense versus you're so broken down, we can't repair you and put you together with duct tape on race day.
It's interesting you say that, Kurt, because I started off my training block after my season break during the holidays. And I marched into a physio's office and he's like, well, what's wrong? And I was like, well, nothing, but I want to go through a movement screen and I want you to pick up on things that you're seeing and give me a set of exercises to do on my non-gym days, spend 20 to 30 minutes just preventatively. Like, I want to nip these things in the bud before they become a thing, before you get to that state of being broken down. And he almost wept. He gave me a hug. He's like, why isn't everybody like you? Yeah, it's not the fun stuff to do, but it goes a long way. Preventative stuff goes a very, very long way. In terms of, it's a lot easier to ward off a problem than it is to fix one once you've got one.
You know, myself, as I'm assessing how can I get better as a coach, how can I get better as an athlete, I've even taken that bold move now that I'm doing yoga. I'm doing like hot yoga. Back in the 80s, if I'd have told Mark Allen, hey, Mark, I've got to go to yoga class or Tinley, those guys would have, they would have had me jump off the ship. That wasn't going to happen. But in this day and age, if I can start to do yoga, there's no doubt in my mind when I look at strength, flexibility, balance, doing all those things, it's a game changer.
What a great episode. I mean, not only fantastic information, but just a fun episode too, between, you know, Dee Dee and Kurt as they are going back and forth talking about, you know, their training and racing. I had the opportunity to train with Dee Dee this summer out in Boulder, Colorado. And in about the 10 weeks or so that I spent there, she's a beast. I really love this episode. And you know, though it may have been originally formatted to discuss, you know, practical advice for continuing to train as, you know, we age, there's just so much in this episode, as we heard from that clip, that can be applied to athletes of any age. I mean, being proactive, preventative care, all of that is critical. And that's something that BJ Leeper has talked about in a lot of the episodes that he has done as well. So, I mean, you know, as a bonus listen, if you're looking for more of that information about, you know, the movement screenings and how mobility and stability are such key parts of our training, you know, check out one of the episodes that BJ has done as well.
Coach Jeff Raines, what is best of 2022, clip number 7? This came out back in the summer, episode 141. One race, three journeys regarding Ironman Texas. I mean, I just love our sport, how everyone has a unique story and a unique path to the start line. It can be a sprint try. You only trained for a month, busted out your first sprint try. It could be years getting to your first Ironman. But when you're on that starting line and you're looking around, you don't know the story of the person next to you. But at the same time, and kind of inside of that, you do know that they have a story, because everyone got to that line, everyone overcame something, and you just don't know what it is, but we're all kind of in that together, and that we understand that kind of fact, that phenomenon even of just getting to that starting line. Nobody else had a unique story than Jonathan Haynes.
Yeah, I actually did 3.5 Ironman ramps for the race. You guys understand COVID cancellations, but the bike accident, I was 2 weeks away from racing in October of 21. And I was just going on an easy Z2 ride. And well, it was one of those stupid moments on a bike that I really don't have anybody to blame other than myself. So you know, I wish it was a really good story. Like, you know, I wish I could blame the car, but it's really all my fault. So, basically I grabbed the wrong brake, I grabbed my front brake. And so I sent myself over the handlebars, and that was not a fun experience.
And that was 2 weeks before Ironman Texas in October of 2021, right? So you'd done all the training, you had done your race rehearsals, you were ready to go, and bike accident, which like we said, that took you out of commission. Instead, on the day, you Sherpa'd for your buddy Brian. And so in April, it was your turn. So how ready were you to get out there and do it after just years of training and waiting for this race?
I was extremely ready to do it. It was half of me wanted to get it over with, and the other half of me wanted to, as we said, burn it to the ground and PR the sucker. So it was mixed feelings. I was glad to finally toe the line and get there.
So that was one of the more beautiful moments of the year, when we saw Jonathan respond the way he did. Part of the story that wasn't included in there is Jonathan, I believe, actually came to the Woodlands still undecided whether he was going to race or not. So he was kind of a last minute decision to sit it out. And that bike wreck was 2 weeks before the race, and he was still trying. But instead of just moping around and feeling sorry for himself, he went to work on race day and was there for his good buddy Brian. That was just really cool to see how Jonathan responded. That's who he is, and you know, it was reflected in his response to that situation. But it was super cool to see him get to actually race and have a good race. And then you know, that whole podcast was just super cool to hear the three different stories of athletes that participated in the same race, same course, same day, but had just very different experiences. So that was a super fun format and a really enjoyable episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely bring that format back. I almost brought that format back for Clash Daytona, just to hear some different experiences from people racing Daytona, because it is just a lot of fun just to hear other people's experience in the sport. So our 8th best of 2022 episode, Coach Joe, what have you selected here?
Yes, definitely one of my favorites came out last September, episode 155, Stories and Strategies from the Back of the Pack. And these are some of my favorite people. Shannon Cranson and Simon Williams were on the podcast talking about their experiences in racing. Simon has raced a number of Ironmans, and Shannon did Ironman Waco with Andrew and myself. Was that 2 years ago? Who knows at this point? And I really enjoyed their interaction and how they shared common experiences throughout their racing experiences. And so that was definitely one of my favorite podcasts we've done this last year.
Really looking at these longer distances, some of the moments that really stand out to me were the long rides. There is a great group here in Houston that I have the opportunity to train with. And, you know, when we start, we usually start together, but then we break up pretty quick because we're all different speeds. And there were times that I spent most of the ride by myself because I was one of the slowest in the group. And then there are times that people would hold on, you know, wait back with me, but then they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go do my speed work now. And, you know, and it's like, well, great. I just finished my speed work, so I'm going to, you know, be a little bit slower now.
It's like you're doing the best you can, and you're getting dropped by people that are just kind of chilling.
Right, they're just kind of going around. And, you know, at the end of the day, for me, that really helped in preparing for those distances, because when you are my pace, my speed, and you're the back of the pack, you end up riding a lot by yourself and or having people pass you. And so it's just learning for me. It was learning how to have a positive attitude about that. Wow. And how to handle that time by myself. What musicals was I singing in my head? You know, what songs were stuck in my head? I mean, all of
what ballets were you reciting?
I tend to stay away from those. But musicals, you would probably find me going through Wicked a few times.
Okay.
But, you know, during the race itself, there's a couple of examples, but the one that I'll stick with was one. Very end. I mean, we were in the last mile and a half. By this point, I knew I was going to make the cutoff, and I was just going the best I could, keep putting one foot forward. And I passed a gentleman who was definitely in a lot of pain. And so I just slowed down for a minute, and I was like, you doing okay? You know, we got this. We're going to finish. He's like, yep, it doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to be official.
Yeah.
And I was like, heck yeah. That's it. That's all it has to be.
Our ninth best of 2022 episode, Elizabeth James, what do you have for us?
This is going to be episode 159, which was Performing Under Pressure, Tips from Mark Allen and McKeely Jones. First of all, it was incredibly challenging to narrow down a clip here. I mean, Mark and McKeely just had the most amazing conversation and perspective about how they handled the pressures of racing. And what I love most about this episode is just how applicable it is for every single athlete that would listen to it. You know, it's not an episode about how to handle racing in the Olympics. It's not an episode about, you know, how to race well in Kona. Certainly there are stories, you know, that are relevant and part of that, but it's really an episode about how you, whoever you are, whatever you're racing, can race the best with whatever event you have coming up.
At the same time, was just in my own zone. And I think that's important for people to have. What's your purpose for being on that start line beyond the finish placing or the finish time? What experience are you hoping to gain from this journey that has nothing to do with any comparison to anybody else or even to a maybe younger version of yourself? This is the most fit that I can ever be, the most prepared on every level, physically, mentally, spiritually, that I can be. You know, one recommendation or one thought to kind of keep in mind, again, when you're going into that big race, why does this have meaning to you? What are you trying to gain from it? Be willing to just embrace the journey of that day, especially if it's a full Ironman. It's going to be a journey. It's not going to be a 1-2, you're done. Take a breath, pull back for a second, regroup, and then wrap your mind around something that you can control. Get to the next aid station, loosen up your stride, lower your shoulders if you're on the run, relax your cadence if you're going into the wind and getting blown all around. Whatever it is, give the best you have to give each and every moment. And as, you can ask yourself that, am I being the best version of myself right here? And if you're whining, I guarantee you
that's a no.
The answer is going to be a no. But if you see, if you can feel yourself kind of go, okay, I got rid of those voices. It's background static now. Let me just do what I've trained myself to do. Let my body take over here. And then you start to absorb in it. And then the next thing you know, you're in this rhythm and you feel this flow, and the miles are going faster and faster, even though you may even be going slower. And it becomes this experience, like all of a sudden you realize you're locked into the best you have to give. And that is so empowering. And when you can find, even if for a few moments in the race, that place where you go, I am locked in and I'm giving the best I have, that is a successful day.
I think it's so cool to listen to Mark Allen talk about the negative thoughts he has in his own brain during racing.
Sure, yeah.
He's very easy to relate to, and it's thoughts that we all have during these races. And I'm like, no, he's the GOAT. You know, he's out there thinking I'm a bad, you know, and I can take any of these guys, but he has the same thoughts. All of those negative thoughts sneak into our minds, but I really like the practical application he has and, you know, breaking it down and talking about tiny goals and small things that we can control and how we can change our mindset, you know, in an instant and take it from, you know, a negative thought process to things that, you know, we can make small little changes in our race and tap into those thoughts that I am, you know, the most prepared that I can be for this race and that I'm going to enjoy this day and enjoy this journey. And so I really enjoyed him on that podcast.
Coach John Mayfield, your second pick, our 10th overall pick for Best of 2022 podcast episodes. What do you got?
It kind of picks up right on that conversation of that last one. So my second pick is episode 144, Why the Goat Chose the Dot. So this was just a absolute surreal moment experience for me. We had started talking with Mark Allen earlier in the year. He actually approached us about coming on. And this was actually the first time that Mark had traveled out to Texas to meet in person with us. And Andrew, you and I sat at a table with Mark Allen and listened to him tell these stories that I've heard for years. They are the stories of triathlon. And again, I've heard them numerous times before. I've seen them on the TV shows. I've read the books about it. But to sit across from that table with just an audience of there were three of us there. To have Mark Allen telling these stories just brought a whole new life to it. And it was really just, I remember sitting there like, man, this is my job. This is my career that I am now sitting across the table from Mark Allen as he's telling these stories, and he tells them so well. And, so this one was, the clip of him closing out, the Iron War. And it was just, again, to sit across from that table and hear him tell that story of that that last mile or so where he and Dave Scott had been shoulder to shoulder since the beginning of the swim, and he pulls away. That was just, again, just a surreal moment that still gives me goosebumps talking about.
At the bottom of the hill was this aid station, and, you know, conventional wisdom, the quote-unquote smart thing to do is to get one last little glass of something because you're running on fumes at that point. And so even if you can get in 10 or 15 calories, something absorbs, it might make the difference between walking and winning.
Yeah.
And so we'd also, both of us had seen that the first one of us that got to the aid station got what they wanted, and the aid station volunteers, because we were so close, would get jumbled a little bit, and the second person may not get everything they want. And so Dave hustled his way to the front. He threw out his hand to get one last glass of whatever he was drinking. And I started to come in behind him. And right as I went to reach, I hear this. And something just said, go. And it was like it came out of the universe. And I pulled my hand back. And I just started sprinting as best as you can at the end of an Ironman.
with all you had in that
Not
moment.
Very impressive, I guarantee you. I started sprinting, and literally in the 3 or 4 seconds it took for Dave to reach over, grab his glass, and look back, I'd put about almost 2 meters on him. And you can see it in the footage when he looks back and he sees that gap had opened up. It completely blew his mind. He was the best at from hour six onward in that race. And but now all of a sudden, here we are at 8 hours and somebody's pulling away from him in his zip code in the place where he's shown historically every single race.
He's never seen that happen before.
He'd never seen that happen. And so he starts to rock. His shoulders come up. His breathing is up instead of down in his stomach. I mean, everything that could go wrong was going wrong with his form. And I made it to the top of the hill before him. I raced down to the bottom. I knew I had to get to the bottom of the hill before him because he was so fast on the downhills. I got to the bottom. I looked back. I couldn't see him. And then I knew I had it.
And you knew.
And I made that last loop to the finish line and the last stretch on Elite Drive. You know, there were thousands of people, you know, just cheering. And I could tell that they were cheering because they were not only happy to see me win, but they were happy because they knew that it wasn't just this race. This was a journey of 7 years that had taken to get me to this point, and they were cheering for that journey as well. And I won across the finish line. Dave had his best Ironman that year ever in his career. He broke his previous world's record by almost 18 minutes, and I did my best time to that date by nearly 30, and the difference in our times was very, very small, a mere 58 seconds.
Just like John alluded to, it's been great getting to know Mark and his having him as part of our Tridot family and just seeing him throughout the year, getting to know him, hearing these epic stories, but also lots of other cool stories along the way and some of the backstories behind kind of the famous stories. And, you know, it's great having Mark on the team, and it has just been a blast getting to know him this year.
All right, my final pick. This is best of the Tridot Podcast 2022, clip number 11. It's my second choice. I really enjoyed episode 153, Bodyweight Performance and Triathlon. This episode is already in our top 10 most listened to episodes, so I know it's a topic that you, our listeners, cared about as well. And just hearing both Taryn and Krista talk about this, they're both very passionate about us knowing that leaner is not always better. Performance needs to come before a certain physique. And just having both of them reiterate that, the clip I've chosen is from Taryn, kind of very, very distinctly and very well kind of sharing her thoughts on body weight and performance. Dr. Krista Austin shared a lot of great nuggets on this episode as well. So thankful for them, thankful for their expertise. We're going to have both of them on the show more going forward in 2023 as our nutrition experts. And so here is the clip I selected from episode 153.
Yeah, it's a really hard one because triathlon is not an aesthetic sport like gymnastics, but you've still got to get into a pretty tight tri suit and you're on the pool deck, you know, semi-naked a lot of the time. So I know triathletes are quite conscious and self-conscious about their body composition. The hardest part for me is trying to get them to understand that, you know, their weight is not necessarily linked to performance in an age group sense, right? So we're talking about, you know, having enough energy for training, not bonking, hitting the wall, falling into a heap, getting sick all the time, and, you know, further along that continuum, ending up in things like low energy availability that people put themselves into because they're constantly striving to be leaner, to be lighter, to be faster. But does that really matter for some people? The foundation needs to really come from, like, are you healthy first? And a lot of people don't really get that. They do crazy things with their diet. They starve themselves, or they, you know, go like overeat, or they cut carbs to lose weight. And then they don't have the energy to support their training and their performance. And so with an age group population, I guess it's trying to get people to understand that weight doesn't necessarily equal better performance. You look at Blumenfeld, right? He's getting a lot of media at the moment for his body composition, and I don't really want to put more limelight on this because I think it's just a ridiculous conversation, but he is, you know, what in people's minds, not the ideal body composition for triathlon, but he's smashing it. So what does it really matter? Like, it's finding the ideal weight and body composition for you so that you're healthy and you're functioning to the best of your ability and you're performing. doesn't necessarily always need to be, you have to be the lightest and the leanest to get there. So I guess it's trying to get people to understand that. And what actually really matters first and foremost is that they're healthy rather than always trying to get to race weight, get as light as possible, because that doesn't always equal better performance.
Having both Dr. Austin and Taryn on this episode was just a gold mine of information. And I love how, you know, they really ask athletes to kind of be reflective on, you know, their weight and their relationship with the scale. You know, how do we look at weight from a performance perspective versus what the media is saying? You know, when we look at our weight, let's also talk about what is healthy. And I love how they really just, you know, position that question. Are you healthy? And when it comes to your weight and your best triathlon performance, we have to look at it from the health perspective first.
For our final pick here, this is our 12th best of 2022 episode. I asked Vanessa Ronxley, who's been doing a great job with our cool down interviews here lately on the podcast. Really excited to have Vanessa do more and more with the show as we move into 2023. She actually is going to co-host the very, very first episode of January 2023 with me for the first time. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be two average athletes interviewing one of our experts. But I asked Vanessa to just look at all of the episodes from the year and pick her personal favorite. Here's what Vanessa had to say.
I feel so honored to have been invited to choose my favorite episode. So thank you for that. I chose episode 128 from March 7th, and it's the one with Bobby McGee. I have listened to this podcast multiple times, and each time I listen, there's a different part that resonates with me. And one that I absolutely love is when he talks about the way in which we approach adversity and how this will lead to some kind of outcome based on what we choose to focus on. And after listening to this podcast in my training, I purposely created opportunities for discomfort because I wanted to practice problem solving with what I had available in that exact moment. So, you know, like biking home from work in a full-on blizzard in the dark, that was super fun with many challenges. But the best part is this problem solving mentality transfers so well over to real life, whether it's a parenting situation, a work-related issue, or even an interaction that you have with a person that's totally uncomfortable. Using the skills that he talks about in this clip will have you coming up with solutions to move forward. Bobby McGee is the best.
But showing up at the start line and conditions aren't what you've prepared for, it's not, this is very common from the age group athlete, is I'm just going to see how it goes. I'm going to stick to the plan. And then when it falls apart, we'll make a decision, right? Mm-hmm. That's the fatal error right there. No, you see a choice, make the choice, adapt from the get-go. What in my toolbox is useful? Is agonizing about my condition and I feel terrible and I'm nauseous and I'm puking and I'm hot and I'm this, is that helping you? What can you do? Oh, I can shorten my stride length. I can scrunch and release my shoulders. What can I actually do? I can take a short, chosen walk break. I can hydrate. I can do this. I can do that. So it's just feeling in control. And this might be a good time to speak about the difference between self-confidence and self-efficaciousness.
Sure. Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the, to me, this is what they learned from the Maths Olympiads, right? That kids that showed up in a questionnaire as not being confident did really, really well. And they asked them when they go in, what are they thinking? And the kids that feel that they were self-confident were subjectively saying, I think I'm good enough. I'm not going to embarrass myself here. I think I'll be able to win, et cetera, et cetera. The kids that were more effective were self-efficacious. This is Bandura's work from the 70s, right? So they were thinking about what do they have to do? All right, so if I get this math problem, which equation do I use? So that's how they're visualizing. They're visualizing problem solving. They're not visualizing ego stuff. How am I going to feel? Am I going to look good? Am I going to win this? What happens if I don't win? What happens if I do poorly, et cetera? None of their thinking is there. They're thinking about the doing. All right, so now I'm I'm dying out here. What are the signs? I'm dehydrated. What do I need to do? I need to find some electrolytes. I need to get some fluid in me. I need to regather myself. All right. So walking is moving forward. So I'm going to take a little walk break and I'm going to look at my options, et cetera, et cetera. At the next aid station, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. All right. I'm going to shuffle. I'm not going to be putting out a lot of range of motion, et cetera, et cetera. You know, because you get, how many people forget they have two gels? They forget that they have a glucose tab hidden away. They forget that they have an extra bottle, or that the next aid station is a mile away and they've got a, you know, they've got a special needs bag there, or whatever the case might be. Is that all goes out the window? You know, it's presence. It's literally presence and working with what's in your toolbox.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
The theme of today's podcast is best of. So I thought for the cool down, we could talk about people who have perfected doing the right training right. So I'd like to give some shout outs to the top earners of XP points and our beloved mythical creatures. For overall most XP points, we have Matt Summer with a total of 12,701. Matt Summer and Jared Picune tied with 46 ponycorns. Kevin Henderson earned 24 unicorns. Cheryl Lilly earned 14 pegasi. And I had to look up the plural of Pegasus on Google. So it's pegasi. And Kimberly Bukai earned 7 pegacorns. Now, this last one, the pegacorn, is actually pretty amazing because in order to get a pegacorn, you need to earn 3 TrainX 100s on top priority sessions in 1 week. So that is a massive deal. So congratulations to all these amazing athletes who have definitely figured out how to do the right training right. Now, one of these rock stars is joining me on the podcast today, and I am so honored and excited to be speaking with him. You most likely have seen his posts on all the socials, and I know for me personally, these messages are very motivating and thought-provoking. I'm Vanessa, your average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm, and I am here with Tri-Dot athlete and coach, but more importantly, the amazing human Matt Summer. So welcome to the cool down, Matt.
Thanks, Vanessa. It's an honor to be here, and this is actually really exciting for me. I'll have to be honest, when you reached out and asked me to be on and told me the why, I was shocked. I had no clue whatsoever that I was leading in XP points, you know, so that was super exciting to find that out, and, you know, just great to be here and share, just kind of have a good conversation with you tonight.
That's perfect. So, is there some magical secret that you can share with us on how you cash in on all of these XP points? Like, how do you create intentionality and turn it into such consistent execution?
You know, that's funny. Honestly, there is no special sauce. There's no secret. You know, the biggest thing as a coach and as an athlete myself is approaching each and every workout day by day. Showing up is step number one. You got to show up to even get the workout done. So making that conscious decision to get up, get on the bike, get up, get outside and run, get up and go to the pool. I mean, that's step number one. Step number two for me is I make it a priority. I think that's one of the biggest things that I try to stress to myself and I try to lead by example with, especially with the athletes that I coach, is you gotta prioritize. Every week when I sit down with my athletes and do our face-to-face conversations and we talk about the week ahead, it's all about prioritizing. On paper, the week looks great. The workouts are there. They look achievable. We talk about execution. But then after it's all said and done, we talk about, okay, what's life look like for you this week? How can we make sure we're getting the workouts done? If you know you have a cocktail party Friday night, do we need to move Saturday around? If you know your kids have a sporting event or a play recital or ballet recital, you don't miss those things. Like, that's a non-negotiable with me. I don't miss my family stuff. I don't let my athletes miss their family stuff. That's priority number one. But then we move the workouts around to make sure that they can get executed with purpose. And I think that's important. Plan for success. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I try to do is every day when I wake up is, okay, what's my game plan? How am I going to approach the workout? Go through it the night before. plan the night before. I think that's important. Get, if you're doing it on Zwift, get it set up. Make sure Zwift is updated the night before. All too often we run into that where it's like, oh, it's not updating. Make sure you got your swimsuit in your swim bag. So when you show up to the pool, you're not like, oh, darn, you know, I don't have it. Make sure your stride meters, your stride pod is powered. Just it's planning, you know, and everybody has hiccups in the day and being able to adapt. I'm pretty fortunate that with what I do, I live on the half hour. I hate to say that. You know, with my full-time job as a fitness director at a private country club, I personal train. So I'm with somebody different every 30 minutes. During my coach calls, it's somebody different every 30 minutes. So I can block that time off. I realize I'm pretty fortunate in that. But again, it does take scheduling. It does take priority. I mean, one of the biggest things I think where success comes from, it's definitely the advent of smart trainers. I mean, and treadmills. I mean, when we think about those ergometers and being able to use a Wahoo Kicker or get on a treadmill, the focus and the disciplined execution are second to none. I mean, we can really dial in the training. As a coach and as an athlete, I'm okay with using smart trainers and treadmills. And I actually recommend them for zone four work and higher. I think for zone four work, zone five work, and zone six work, the focus, the discipline, and taking the thought out of it with those devices really helps with precision. It's hard to do that. I mean, if you go outside, how many of us have a stretch of pavement that we can go 18 minutes straight at threshold riding a bike without a stoplight, without cars, without animals? It's nearly impossible. But on a smart trainer, you can, and you can also hold the power that you need to hold, which is a skill of its own, but with, you know, without worrying about hills, stop signs, cars, animals, and everything else. And same with running. I mean, when you're running outside, you still got to worry about cars. You got to worry about sidewalks. You got to worry about the curb. You got to worry about puddles, animals. So I'm a big fan of those devices for zone four, zone five, zone six. Now, zone two, zone three, take them outside, work on pacing. There's also a cognitive piece. I mean, you got decision making that you have to worry about when you're outside. Zone two, zone three, you can make decisions. You can be paying attention to everything around you and be aware. But zone four and higher, a lot of times you're so dialed in and focused on what you're doing, you don't have time to think about those things. So from a safety perspective too. So
yeah.
But just a couple, you know, I do a lot of my quality work on the trainer and on the treadmill. But I also get my butt outside quite a bit for the zone two, zone three stuff. Cause you gotta be out there. You gotta be outside.
Well, that's a whole ton of like juicy little nuggets of training success. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
I think sure. I'll have to implement that in my own training. That's for sure. This was so great, Matt. Thank you for sharing some of your training secrets and your life philosophy with us, and for being so amazing at everything that you do. I know for me, you are such an inspiration, and I know that's the same for many people out there. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you having me on here. And like I said, I love what I do. I mean, one of the first things I tell people is, you know, I'm as passionate about this as you are. I'm going to meet it, if not exceed it. And, you know, I get to help people work out. I mean, that's not a bad gig, you know, at my full-time job and with coaching. I get to help people find the best versions of themselves. I mean, if the worst part of my day is folding towels, I'm doing better than a lot of people. And, you know, I try to find the positive, and, I really do love it. TriDot has been such a big part of my life since 2018. You know, TriDot helped me through a very, you know, some challenging parts of my life in late 2020, just going through some stuff. And I mean, that's where I directed my energy. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and I'm going to leave you guys with this one is, and I tell a lot of my athletes, this is, don't adapt to the energy in the room, influence the energy in the room. And that's one of those things where it's like, you know, don't let people bring you down, bring them up. And that's what I've tried to do. And, you know, it just brings joy to my heart watching people succeed, achieve things they didn't think they could do. And I get as much out of them as they get out of me. So thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.